Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Sometimes we introduce you or revisit an organization that's important in our community. And for 16 years, Kid Power has been one such organization. Kid Power has been hosting a one-of-a-kind fundraiser for those 16 years called the Chocoholic Frolic. And the aim is to, well, to enjoy chocolate, of course, but also to raise funds on behalf of personal safety and violence prevention education for kids. And this year, they're training in the chocolate fondue and chocolate fondant to create more of a unique experience for attendees. It's called the Chocolate Genius, and that will bring in a world-renowned chocolatier to delight audiences with a sculpting experience. And joining us this morning to talk more about it, we're so pleased to have with us, first of all, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Kid Power, Jan Isaacs-Henry. Jan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Shannon. Isn't it great to start the morning talking about chocolate?
It definitely is. It definitely is. And I also understand that we have someone called the Chocolate Genius, and I want to make sure that I pronounce the last name correctly because it reads differently than I think it's pronounced, but Paul Joachim, is that correct?
That's pretty close. It's a good try.
Joachim. Okay. Well, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jan, we're going to start with you. So, Paul, hold on there because I want to hear all about being a chocolate genius. I think I'm a genius at eating chocolate, but maybe not necessarily a genius about it. Jan, let's start with a little background for our audience on Kid Power. I've been fortunate enough to be involved with a couple of your previous fundraisers back in the day. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the organization? Share with that with our audience.
Of course. Kid Power is a nonprofit organization started in 1994 in Colorado. We're part of an international organization. Kid Power teaches kids, teens, and their adults personal safety and confidence building skills. So we teach kids safety skills and strategies with both strangers and people they know, including peers, bullies, people in positions of authority, and also people they know and care about. So we call it people safety because it's really skills to be safe with and around other people and how to be healthy in our relationships. We are one of those small but mighty nonprofit organizations. Since we began, we've trained more than 64,000 kids, teens, and adults in Colorado.
So a lot of ripple effects from this organization. Why is it so important, Jan, to start this conversation at an early age?
We actually believe that the best teachable moment is the earliest teachable moment. One of the most important things that we can do as parents and caregivers is to protect our children by teaching them about personal safety and doing that in a way that, as you know, Shannon, isn't scary, but that's fun, so that we can help them build confidence and give them the tools and power to be safe in a variety of potentially sticky situations. So it's never too early for kids to learn that they can come to us as their trusted adults no matter what, if anything feels uncomfortable or unsafe, and that they have the right to be safe with other people. So as early as possible to give them that message, we think is really important.
Is it just for elementary students, or what about teenagers?
Yeah, we have a program called Teen Power. We actually teach classes for individuals 4 years old to 18 years old, and we divide those classes by age, and we also teach adults with disabilities.
All right. I know Kid Power doesn't turn any child away for financial limitations, so clearly fundraising has to be part and parcel of this organization. Tell us about the event, Chocoholic Frolic.
Right. Well, the Frolic is our signature event. And as you said, it's actually the 16th year of the Frolic. But this year, we are shaking it up. It's still chocolate and it's still frolicking, but Chef Paul will be flying in from Orlando. And this will be an extraordinary chocolate experience. So kind of the way that it's going to flow, we'll begin the night by light bites and beverages and then move into the most amazing chocolate sculpting of 100 pounds of chocolate into a surprise life-size sculpture from stage. It's going to be pretty cool.
Interesting.
And Sally Hibble, and Sally Hibble and Annie Sneed will be our lively MCs. And then after, because if you imagine you're in the end center for the Arts Auditorium and you're smelling 100 pounds of chocolate, afterwards guests will be treated to a 9-course luxurious chocolate tasting with the rarest, most exclusive chocolates in the world. So it's on June 10th at the end center for the Arts. But in order to make sure that guests have enough chocolate, the deadline is Memorial Day, so for tickets, May 29th. In addition, we're going to have an absolutely amazing online silent auction that runs from Thursday, June 8th through Sunday, the 11th. And people can preview the auction now on our website, which is kidpowercs.org. Just click on events. So if you can't come to the frolic, but you still want to support Kid Power, you can bid on fantastic silent auction items from your couch or wherever you might be.
Yeah, that's been one positive outgrowth of the pandemic. People, nonprofits made changes because, a lot of these fundraisers had to go online. And one real popular thing that I've heard kudos for from both, people who bid on them as well as the nonprofits are these online, live type of auctions where people can participate. And who knew that, the pandemic would have that kind of silver lining, right?
Right, exactly. Silver lining, for sure.
Yeah, and speaking of, changes, Chocoholic Frolic has been going on for so many years. It's been successful, always sold out. So why the change and also what hasn't changed?
It just felt like it was time for a change. We had a couple years of virtual events. Last year, we were so delighted to be back in person. But this year, we thought we would give guests an experience that they are likely to have never had. And that is bringing in a best-in-class chocolate sculptor, a live gourmet chocolate tasting. It's a real opportunity to captivate our audience. And different from before, this event is about chocolate, it's about fun, it's about connection, but it's also about kids. And the End Center for the Arts will allow us to have the opportunity all in one auditorium to share our important mission with our guests in one place and come together as a community to protect young people. So when Chef Paul, he's an artist and a chef, but in our very first talks back in November, Paul, we've been talking about this for a long time, he really talked to us about chocolate as an incredible medium to connect with others, but also to align with Kid Power's mission and values. And that was it. We were in. So we've developed this great relationship over Zoom, and we really can't wait to meet you, Paul, in person.
And we're going to be talking more to Chef Paul in just a couple of minutes. And Chef Paul, all I can imagine are the chocolatey sticky fingers that you probably get working with this amazing medium. Yeah. We need to take go ahead.
Oh, I've got the best smelling, smoothest hands ever.
Yeah, I bet you just, anyone who comes close and shakes your hand carries that away with them. Chef Paul, stick around. We need to take a short break. And for our listeners, if you'd like to find out more on Chocoholic Frolic, you can go to kidpowercs.org and click on events. We'll make sure that we link that on our podcast page as well. We need to take a short break. More of The Extra after this. Welcome to The Extra, and today our guest talking about the upcoming Chocoholic Frolic. And again, if you'd like to find out more information about this event, you can go to kidpowercs.org. But you can also go to thechocolategenius.com to find out about our next guest, Chef Paul Joachim. And good morning, Chef Paul.
Good morning, Shannon.
Well, everyone loves chocolate, I think. I would be hard-pressed to find someone who says, no, not me. But everyone loves chocolate. I'm sure everyone loves shaking your hand and coming away wanting to lick their fingers, smelling all that wonderful chocolate on them. What inspires you to choose chocolate to be an artist?
Wow. I mean, you know, what's ironic is people ask me, do I still love chocolate? I'm thinking, what?
After all that.
Well, I've got So I've got a secret. Everyone I know in the chocolate business is obsessed with chocolate. I think we keep the chocolate companies in business. Chocolate is the most amazing, most delicious medium in the world that it connects with others. It brings people together from all walks of life.
Oh. I mean,
we've had participants, and it's been amazing this last couple of years. The pandemic was a silver lining for us. We've had participants in over 35 countries and 6 continents. We've had entire events with folks over in Singapore and Ireland and in Dublin and really all over the world. So it's just been an incredible experience to see firsthand how the chocolate is connecting with so many people across the whole world. So the last continent I've got left is Antarctica. I'm hoping penguin sculptures, maybe.
Maybe. we have lots of Coloradans. Well, not lots, but we have dozens of Coloradans who head from here to go down there. They're part of the crew that maintains the bases down there, McMurdo and such. So, who knows, right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Definitely my bucket list.
Well,
absolutely.
I know what type of chocolate I love. Dark chocolate all the way. The darker, the better for me. Are there differences when it comes to sculpting if you're choosing dark, milk, or even white chocolate?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, I'm definitely a dark chocolate guy too. So, but I've come to appreciate the milk and the white in general, because when we're talking the quality of chocolate that we're going to be serving at Kid Power, it's a whole nother game. This is not like the white chocolate and the milk chocolate that you're used to. I guarantee you, Shannon, you need to come. and you need to taste this chocolate. You will change your mind about that just dark. So for sculpting, the dark is definitely best for me. It's got less sugar, and it handles better. So when you're dealing with this chocolate, it's kind of like clay. So I'm adding a little corn syrup, and no one's tasting this chocolate. This is what I'm sculpting with. So I'm adding a little corn syrup to that sculpting chocolate, and becomes like clay, and depending on the humidity, how long the chocolate's been out in the air, the temperature of the room, it starts to harden up. So I'm able to bring and take some of those harder elements and use it as structure, and then some of the softer elements I can use for the softer features, like on the face and that type, on hands, that type of thing. If I was dealing more with milk or white chocolate, there's a higher sugar content, and it's just going to be softer. So it's not going to hold up. And remember, I'm doing this stuff live. So it's got to be as predictable as possible. But it's super challenging, too. Because let's say I'm here in Orlando. Obviously, it's a lot more humid than Colorado, right? So I have to always make adjustments in the recipe. And then I just have to flow with what the chocolate gives me when I get out to Colorado, because I don't know how exactly it's going to react to those different elements. So I've been in all kinds of different scenarios where you just have to let the chocolate do what it wants to do.
Interesting. So it's not like ice sculpture where you're maybe using a chisel and hammer. You're using your hands really to shape and form these things, right?
Yeah. Usually that's called additive sculpting versus subtractive sculpting. Like ice would be subtractive sculpting. I've done some carving like that. So I sculpted a Aston Martin. It was a 3-foot Aston Martin out of a block of chocolate. That's interesting. Yeah, that was up in New York City. That was for a dentist's 60th birthday.
I was going to say some sort of private event with someone with very expensive motorizing tastes, right? Let's talk about some of the notable characters and figures you've sculpted. Tell us about some of those.
Okay, let's see. I sculpted Robin Williams. I sculpted life-size Marilyn Monroe. I've sculpted definitely over 20 life-size figures over the years. I sculpted Ozzy Osbourne. So I never thought I'd get to sculpt Ozzy. Of all the people in the world, I got to sculpt Ozzy Osbourne. That was really cool. Jack and Kelly Osbourne came to Orlando, and they came to pick up their dad, well, their chocolate dad. So that was a great experience. They were super chill the entire time. Like, I didn't know what to expect. It was going to be super high energy, and it was just so relaxing to meet them and go over.
Speaking of super chill, did you have to chill the sculpture to travel wherever it went?
That's the amazing thing about the modeling chocolate is it's very stable. So it's actually room temperature. So you can get a lot hotter than you think.
A lot hotter.
So I've done sculpting outside. Wow. A couple times for events in the upper 80s, even lower 90s in the shade. And it's the sun that actually, if it's direct sun, forget it. All bets are off. But as long as I'm in the shade and as long as I prepare for it, you can actually sculpt in hot weather.
And interesting, you mentioned hotter. I'm guessing that the Marilyn Monroe figure, it had to be that iconic shot of From Some Like It Hot, right? With her over the subway grate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Definitely. So, so you've got the billowing dress. Yeah, I sculpted that live over 2 days.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
We need to take a break here. Chef Paul, many more questions I have coming your way. Chef Paul Joachim, who is going to be joining the folks from Kid Power and all their guests at the Chocoholic Frolic. We need to take another break right here. If you'd like to find out more about Chef Paul's sculptures, you can go to thechocolategenius.com. And to find out more about the frolic itself, go to kidpowercs.org. We take a break here. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour. Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. All right, well, we've been talking about the Chocoholic Frolic with the chocolate genius, Chef Paul Joachim, who's joining us right now. And Chef Paul, like you said, you are based in a much more humid climate. You're coming to the dry area of Colorado Springs for this event. Let's talk about the challenges. Like, for instance, what's the most difficult sculpture you've ever done? And why?
Let's see. Do I have any chocolate within reach? Actually, I do. So I'm going to eat some chocolate right now.
Okay. Give yourself inspiration.
The most difficult sculpture, let's see. I mean, as you can imagine, when I'm sculpting live, and it's across the world, which obviously is never easy. So there's always going to be all kinds of different things that are going to be thrown at you that are completely unpredictable. Now, I've sculpted in Lahore, Pakistan, Australia, Malta, Central America, in Panama, Aruba. So you can't just, again, run to the store. So I say I forget something, right? So tons of logistics. So when we do these events, 90% of it is logistics and about 10% of it's actually execution. So one thing I can think of that was just kind of shocking. So I'm sculpting LeBron James life-size in Miami, and we're under a tent, and it was a two-day event, and I was doing my thing, and I was sculpting, and it was an actually 11-foot-tall sculpture. And I get in. I'm the first person to get in the next morning. I'm always the first person to get there. I'm always the last person to leave. And I noticed that everything was soaked. Like, completely soaked. Like, it wasn't the morning dew kind of soaked. Like, what the heck happened? And then as I'm walking up to the tent, the groundskeeper's running, saying, oh, my gosh, the sprinklers went off. I'm thinking, okay. So I walk over to my sculpture, and the entire base is ruined. It's a 240 pounds.
That's the foundation. That's like getting a leaky foundation.
Right. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I've got an entire day left. So we found sandbags, we found concrete blocks, and we piled it up. We put a blanket over around it, and I started. Okay. So I thought that was it. So I'm in the middle of this event, and I'm talking to probably 20 people at once. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this little girl. I'm going to guess maybe 7 or 8. And she crosses her arms like a fullback. And I'm like, what is she doing? And she's like posturing, and she literally runs right into the sculpture. Like, what? It was just like, what is happening?
Okay.
He runs into the sculpture and the whole thing tips. Like, it didn't fall, thank God. But the whole thing, like, sways back and forth. And I'm like thinking, you know, this kid needs little kid power.
She may have, okay.
What is going on? And it was like, where are the parents? And then it happened. And then the next time, my wife is a school teacher, so I kind of know how to handle the kids. I'm a parent too. And she does it again. This time, I did a little arm bar. So I just put my arm in front of her. And I was like, don't do this. And then that's when the parents chimed in.
She thought she was helping, you think, maybe?
I have no clue. Another time when we went out to Australia, I was up for 44 hours straight. So I had a guy next to me. So take note, never take coach if you can.
Oh.
International trip. It was one of my first international trips, and we took coach, and I had a leg shaker next to me.
So I never slept. Yeah.
We got there at 7:30 a.m. So we're up all day, and then we're trying to wind down. So the next day, I'm on Today Show Australia, which is huge. There's like 5 million people that watch it. And I'm sculpting the biggest morning news anchor. So there's pressure. And then at about 9:30, all the electricity in the hotel goes out. So I'm thinking, okay, what is going on? This is after being up for 44 hours straight. I got a couple hours sleep. And then I get there, and every ounce of energy that I had went into sculpting him and to make sure it looked like him. So when it was time for the interview, I was done. I was spent. I had nothing left. And I was told that he was going to interview me, but it was the female anchor that interviewed me, and it just threw me off. So she walks up to me and asked me the first question, and I just went blank. There was nothing. I was like, oh my God, this is a mess. And then it was all over, and it was actually ended up being a really fun segment. And the publicist calls me and says, Paul, that was great. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So in retrospect, when I actually saw the footage, it wasn't nearly as bad as it felt. It felt like it was like a minute of me just going blank, but it was actually just me looking up and down. And then I started talking again. So just crazy stuff like that happens when you really, yeah, I'm taking risks. I'm taking risks by going out and
doing this live too. Yeah,
and doing it live. Yeah, right. Doing it live.
Right.
Really creates that whole element of the unknown. So stuff like this is going to happen. I've learned to flow with it. You know.
Well, and
I'm much more chill about this than I used to be.
And despite a child basically trying to ruin your work there with LeBron, you are really close to the idea of children and protecting children. I mean, that's a cause that is close to your heart. So tell us more about why this cause, this organization, is something you want to support.
Well, like I mentioned, I'm a parent. So my kids now are 16 and 20. And you know, as a parent, we all know the need for empowering our kids and really having them self-reliant and having them have the ability to set boundaries for themselves. So it's a skill set that they can take into their adulthood. And it's just what Kid Power is doing is an amazing resource. It really makes a big difference. The stories that Jan shared with me, it's like, wow. I mean, really making a huge impact in the community. And I think a lot of adults could use these skills. I mean, how many adults can you think of that could use the more boundary setting and self-empowerment, you know?
Yeah.
So teaching the kids at that level at a young age, it's what an important thing to do and have it where they can take it throughout their lives.
Right. Because at some point, kids, you know, need to find those individualized skills, be independent beings. And I understand you have applied some of those same thinking to sustainability in your field, in the chocolate industry. Tell us a little bit about that and why it's important.
So I'm on the board of the Heirloom Cacao Preservation Fund. And what we're out to do is we're out to discover, identify, and preserve the finest chocolate that's out there. So a lot of it is actually going endangered, and we don't want that to happen. And what I've discovered by being involved is that by empowering the cacao farmers, we're actually empowering our entire earth. And that's because when we're paying them fair wages, they have the ability to reinvest in their farms in a more sustainable way. And where they're doing sustainable practices, they're protecting the biodiversity of their region, protecting rainforest. So the negative part about chocolate is that there's a lot of deforestation and cutting down the rainforest, which obviously isn't good for our earth. So by taking care of those farmers, they're taking care of their farms. They're using things like called agroforestry, and it's creating a much healthier global environment. So there's so many direct impacts on when we're making sure that the chocolate that we're eating is sustainable. To not only does it taste more amazing, we're actually doing such a good thing for the earth and for our kids and for our future. So it's definitely something that is important to me and something that I'm focusing a large part of my business on.
So think maybe about that a little bit while you're reaching for your next chocolate bar, and maybe make different choices, huh? That's a good message for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a huge difference, and there's a huge difference in the taste.
Yeah.
people need to taste. So, you know, with that, it's like one of the featured chocolates that's going to be at the event on June 10th is a wild forage chocolate.
Oh.
You know what wild forage is,
no.
Shannon?
No, tell. Tell.
No, okay. So, you know, when you go out and there's berries growing on a bush, you know, let's say blackberries or blueberries, what do they have out in Colorado?
Oh, not many berries. Yeah, because it's so dry here.
Strawberries.
I think there are places with, you know, like raspberries. Raspberries would grow here.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So, you know, you just walk out into the forest and it's growing just wild, right? So that's wild foraged, is when you go into the forest and you just pick it right off the tree,
mm-hmm.
right? Amazing. So the cacao that was used for this chocolate is exactly that. It was picked right off wild cacao growing in Bolivia.
Oh.
So cacao grows usually within 10 degrees of the equator. So they're going out in Bolivia and Falcon. Falcon is the manufacturer that I've been working with. And they've made an amazing relationship with the indigenous people of the province of Beni. And the Chimani Indians are the ones going out into the low-lying rainforest. And there's these islands that they only can get access to by boat and by foot. So they go by boat, by foot. And they've got these really long poles, and they knock down the cacao pods from the trees. And then they gather those and then bring them back over and ship them from Bolivia to Chile, and then Chile all the way over to Switzerland, where they process it.
Some of the most fine chocolate you'll ever taste.
So you can imagine what that tastes like.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's a whole nother level of experience. So
interesting. Chef Paul, we need to take a short break here. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, if I could, to give us a hint of what you might be sculpting, if you don't mind, on that June 10th event. Do you mind?
What do you think, Jan?
Just a little soupçon of a taste. Maybe a little.
It's kind of a surprise.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right, we need to take a break here. We'll be back with more from Chef Paul and Kid Power as we're talking about the Chocoholic Frolic. Stick around. We are back with our final segment here on The Extra. Okay, so any hints that you can give Chef Paul as to the sculpture choice you're going to make?
Okay, so far we haven't given up the idea, right? So I'm going to say that it represents Kid Power perfectly.
Oh,
it's going to be uplifting. It's going to be empowering. It's going to be chocolatey. The aroma, you can imagine what the aroma is like. It's going to be colorful. It's going to be amazing. I'm mounting it on a Lazy Susan. So as I'm going to be on stage sculpting it, I'll be able to spin it and turn it, which is going to make it super dynamic. And I'm really excited to be able to present it and finish it up on stage.
Interesting. Okay. Well, see, you have to attend in order to see that and find out more. Jan Isaacs-Henry, why don't you, as we finish up this segment and this hour of conversation, tell us again about the Chocoholic Frolic, which is actually a chocolate frolic, but but tell us more about what to expect.
It's on June 10th. 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Entz Center for the Arts. Tickets must be purchased by Memorial Day, so we're coming right up on that, May 29th. The cost of the event, it's a fundraising event, is $90, and for first responders and school professionals, it's $75, so there's a discount. If you can't come and you still want to support, we've got that silent auction that you can preview now, fabulous, fabulous things in the auction at kidpowercs.org, and just click on events.
Great, great. And even though you'll have a sculptor in-house, there will still be chocolate to taste like there has been in the past, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is the most rare, exclusive, and smoothest chocolates that people will ever taste, and it will truly be an exquisite experience.
Well, hearing from Chef Paul about some of that wild forage chocolate just intrigues me, because you wonder, you know, our American tastes are so different. And you notice that when you go to Europe and travel around there, or even to like one of our import stores here in town where you can pick up like whether it's British chocolate or French chocolate. I mean, how differently our chocolate palates have developed, and certainly getting to experience all the various nuances of chocolate. Oh gosh, my mouth is watering right now. And Chef Paul,
breakfast of champions.
Chef Paul, you were saying that you have some chocolate handy. Does chewing on chocolate, give you better ideas? Do you think it helps your brain in thinking about things?
Oh yeah, perfect clarity. Amazing.
Centers you, grounds you. Well,
exactly.
I think all of us have developed an appetite for chocolate during this hour of conversation. I'd just like to thank our guest today, Chef Paul Joachim, who is also known as the Chocolate Genius, and you can find out more about his work at thechocolategenius.com. That is his website. Chef Paul, thanks for joining us on The Extra.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And Jan Isaacs-Henry, who is one of the co-founders of Kid Power, kidpowercs.org, which is their website. Hey, Jan, I think I detected Chef Paul smacking his lips on some chocolate right there, don't you?
I think you're right, Shannon.
Making all of us jealous for what he has in his house. Well, if you'd like to find out more about Kid Power, their cause, their mission, how they help kids of all ages, and how you can help their cause through Chocoholic Frolic, go to kidpowercs.org, and the event is going to be listed under their events drop-down page. Jan Isaacs-Henry, thanks for joining us here on The Extra.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I have to say this has been one pleasurable hour, because there's nothing I like talking about better than food and delicacies than chocolate. So this is wonderful. So I've enjoyed this, and I hope our listeners have too. Thank you for joining us in this hour of conversation here on The Extra. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 9 to 10 here on KRDO News Radio. After the break, we have Tom Martino.